For the past while, we've had various different speakers coming and serving here, and it's been a privilege to host and a blessing to have God's word expressed by these churches that have come alongside us who care, who have shown love to us in this difficult season for our church. Over the past couple of weeks, I've been praying about and what this will look like. Okay, my name's now in the schedule, but what's it going to look like? Figured, okay, well, we could think about these things in there, and I'm on for two Sundays, and shuffling things back and forth. And I started to pray about it, met with Craig a little bit, and we just shared our hearts with each other, and we were continually drawn back to our series in Luke. Jesus' actions, the way that Luke is telling this story of Jesus in society, and it continues to meet people where they're at in the original hearers of this book, and also for us today. And so we're going to continue in our series in Luke. And if you don't kind of remember, it's probably a little blurry where we came last time. I think I was the last one to speak out of Luke. And we talked about Jesus preaching in the synagogue. And in that, he's preaching in Nazareth. He's preaching in his hometown. And people are very excited. This man, he preaches with such authority, such vigor, such life. And then he starts going into the fact that he is the anointed one. He is the chosen. He is the Messiah. And then all of a sudden, the room starts to change a little bit. And ultimately, they take him and they drive him out and they want to put him to death. And what does he do? He passes through them. This was not his time yet, but it is coming. And the story continues for us today as we enter into that conversation. I invite you to bow your heads with me as we open this time in prayer. God, you are good. Lord, thank you that we can stand here today. We can come into this building and we can claim that that battle belongs to you. That the things that we go through in life, that we can give that to you and that you care for each one of us. Lord, thank you that you are God of relationship. You are God of refuge and of peace. And Lord, in your Son, your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that we would see that there is immense power and authority in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who came as your only Son, as your image of salvation, as this salvation has come to your people, that all we do is to trust in you, trust in your promise to us, trust in your forgiveness over sin and victory over death. Lord, this morning as we look into your word, we pray that we would be sensitive to what you are teaching us, just as you taught these original hearers of these happenings so long ago. Lord, we give this to you, and in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Kingdom authority. Kingdom authority. Jesus is in command, and this morning we're going to look, we're going to continue on in chapter 4 of the Gospel of Luke. If you have your Bibles with you, I would invite you to turn there with me, and we're going to start in verse 31 of chapter 4, and we're going to read to verse 44. And he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. And in the synagogue there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice, "Ha!" Which also we see in our footnotes is this impression of leave us alone. It's not a mocking, but it's leaving us alone. "Ha! What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, Be silent and come out of him. And when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed and said to one another, What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they came out. And reports about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. And he arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she rose and began to serve them. Now when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of them, crying, You are the Son of God. But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place. And the people saw him and came to him, and would have kept him from leaving, but he said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. What an amazing happening this is of testimony in Luke 31 to 44 of kind of encapsulated the ideas that are going on there in this. We witness a day in the life of Jesus that reveal not just his compassion, but his command. He teaches with authority. He heals with authority. He moves with purpose. And through it all, he proclaims the kingdom of God. Not a distant hope, but a present reality that is breaking into this world. And as we start to get our minds working around these ideas, I've just posed a couple of these questions. The passage shares, but it also asks, what does it mean to live under the authority of Jesus? Both for these original hearers of this word and for us today. How does his kingdom confront that chaos in our lives? And are we willing to follow the king? Not just when he comforts us, but when he commands us. Imagine walking into this synagogue, walking into this place of worship, into the church, Sunday, and you're hearing a man teach, not with speculation, not with tradition, not with all of these things that you are to do, but with undeniable authority. Not with referring back to his footnotes like me, not going back to all of these things what other people said, but that he spoke without hesitation, just truth that pierced the soul. And that's what happened. That's what's happening in Capernaum right now as Jesus is speaking. It didn't stop with the words. Demons started to flee. Fevers were banished. Crowds gathered. Why? Because the kingdom of God had arrived. And this king was on the move. And it's interesting how we see Jesus start to preach here. He's preaching to the people. He's preaching this message. It's not starting out with Jesus came to this group and there was a demon-afflicted man. There was a man within the congregation he's meeting to speak on that Sabbath morning or evening. And they can sense his authority. They see the authority in Jesus, and in that, there is healing. We don't see the specific topic, but we are alluded to the fact of what it is about. Remember those words in 43? Verse 43, but he said, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God. That's what he's in the middle of doing. He's preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. He's traveling around, and this is part of his mission, the good news of the gospel. The gospel. The good news. Sometimes we say that and we just glance over. Well, it's the good news. It's the gospel, right? The good news, how a holy God created the world. How the world fell into sin and brokenness, and how God offers salvation to his people. And how everyone who repents and believes this gospel, who trusts in Jesus' name, will be saved and will have that victory by trust, by putting faith. This is enough to stir the crowd. That gospel truth is enough to stir the crowd, and it's enough to make the devil and his demons start to feel quite uncomfortable and unwelcome in that good news gospel that he's sharing of. And it comes down to authority. It comes down to authority. And much of our conversation this morning is going to be surrounding this word authority. Oh boy. Authority. We'll start out with a definition of it. I thought that's a good place to start and start to unpack a little bit of what this means. Authority is the power. We have this on the screen here. Authority is the power or right to give commands, make decisions, and enforce obedience. It can also refer to the person or institution that holds such power or the source of expert information. In essence, authority is the capacity or influence to influence or control the actions or opinions of others. I think sometimes talking about authority can have, I don't know, I think it has the potential to raise up a fair bit of emotion, doesn't it? Talking about authority in our lives, talking about authority around us. Why is that? You don't have to answer this. I like to ask these questions, but don't feel that you need to stand up and answer them. But we're going to ask a few questions here now that you can start to think about, whether it be in your own life or how you've encountered these things. But why, when we think of authority, does it become so personal right away? Now I'm going to ask some questions. Like I say, you don't have to stand up and answer them. If you really would like to, then I'd ask that you raise your hand and we'll call. To reflect, if I were to ask you today, what is authority? Where is your authority found? What shapes the way that you make decisions? What's the way that you encounter challenges in your life? What brings you to that place of clarity? What would you say? But on another whole front, not just what we would say, because sometimes we like to say a lot of things, what does your life say about that authority and where it comes from? What does your life say to others? We are going to come back to this, so don't think that you're off the hook. But we're going to come back to that. Jesus, he proclaims kingdom with authority. And this is right there in the first couple of verses of our passage here. 4 verse 31 and 32. Here he is now in Capernaum and he's preaching. He's preaching the truth, the power, the people are astonished and convicted by his teaching. And verse 43, as I mentioned, and it's worth repeating, this is where that comes from. He is teaching with this authority, but he's teaching kingdom theology. He's teaching about the good news. News of the kingdom is here. And with the coming of Christ, it is for the future as well. People are astonished and they're amazed by this message, and he's telling of a kingdom. He's not telling of a kingdom of pointing fingers and doing all the right things. He's pointing out sin. But within that which he's pointing out a kingdom which looks very different to the world around that they were expecting. Remember, this has been the coming Messiah, and these people are expecting a warrior Messiah to be here, making complete justice, a great warrior, and making the people see that they need to come by Christ, and if that's by force, but that they missed the part of the suffering servant. They missed the part of grace and forgiveness. But Jesus comes in power, and the scriptures are being fulfilled in their telling. And I think so much of this activity, so much of this is coming to a head with all of these demons and evil spirits within that congregation because their hearts were ready to hear. The congregation that he's just coming from chased him out when he started speaking about the kingdom of God, started speaking about the prophecies being fulfilled in him, prophecies of grace and forgiveness. But here, people are starting to ask questions, and they're starting to see the power in Jesus. Now, Jesus, he teaches in the synagogue, and the people are astonished, not just by his words, but by the authority behind them. And his teaching isn't borrowed or hypothetical. It's real. It's divine. And it's transformative. One of my favorite quotes is the fact that our Bible is not just read for information, but read for transformation. That in the Word of God, we are transformed within that. The Word of God. If the church has any authority, if the church aims to have any authority in today's day and age, it must teach the authority of God's holy word. That's part of the intentional heart that we have in preaching through a lot of the books of the Bible, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. That we hold to this holy word, that we don't glance over it, that we don't take it out of context, that we look to it for authority and how to live. This is where it starts, and it's a pattern that must continue. I want to travel quickly. If you have your Bibles and you'd like to turn there with me, we're going to travel to Timothy. 2 Timothy, that is. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. And this is Paul's charge to Timothy. Paul's charge to the church. Do your best to present yourselves to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. And as you're getting to that one, you can go a few pages over, and we're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. But having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Man, that could have been written yesterday. We don't have to go far. But what we have to hold to is the authority of Jesus Christ. And that authority comes to us throughout Scripture. And so what I'd like to do is talk a little bit about the authority of Jesus. And as we look at that, this week I wanted to... We could talk about the authority of Jesus. We could talk about how the authority of Jesus is divine, how it is complete, how it is transformative, and how it is shared. I could put those on there, but without the authority of Scripture, without the truths of Scripture, it's just Aaron coming up with some nice words that look good and put together a PowerPoint presentation. As we look at the authority of Jesus Christ, and if we are to say He is divine, rooted in His identity as the Son of God, just a couple of verses that I was able to jot down as we think and pray about this. John 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Matthew 3:17. This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Colossians 1, verse 15 to 17. Jesus, the image of the invisible God, by Him all things were created. Continues from our scripture that Jeremy read this morning. His authority is complete. His authority is complete, and it spans teaching, healing, nature, sin, death, judgment. It is encompassing. Jesus' authority covers these things. In Mark 1, verse 27, He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey Him. Mark 4, verse 39, 41, Jesus calms the storm, even the wind and the sea obey Him. Mark 2, verse 10, the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. John 5, 27, He has authority to execute judgment because He is the Son of Man. And it's an extensive list, but this isn't near what we see in Scripture. But if we are going to claim the authority of Jesus Christ in our lives, this has to be the foundation where we complete the definition of authority in our lives. Authority is transformative. It changes lives, it confronts evil, and it calls for surrender. Calls for surrender. That's a hard one for many of us, I think. We like to have it figured out. We like to, okay, God is moving in my life, but this is how I see Him moving. It's hard to surrender. We don't like to feel weak. We don't like to feel that we haven't had it figured out. But if we're going to come to what kingdom living looks like, if we're going to come to the authority of Jesus in our lives, we have to surrender. We are called to surrender. Luke 8, verse 2, Mary Magdalene is healed of 7 demons. Luke 19, 8 to 10, Zacchaeus is transformed by the grace of God. John 8, 11, go and sin no more. Jesus calls for repentance. Romans 12:2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And last of all, as we look at the authority of Jesus, is the authority of Jesus is shared among the people. He shares that. It's given to believers to carry out His mission. I have given you the authority, Luke 10:19 says, over all the power of the enemy. Matthew 28, 18 to 20, all authority is given, therefore go and make disciples. Or as you are going, make disciples with you. You will receive power and be my witnesses, it says in Acts, verse 8. We cannot understand Jesus' authority without acknowledging His authority. And that's where the Lord will continue. Jesus demonstrates the kingdom with power. And we go back to our Luke. And let's go back to Luke chapter 4. And we go to this incredible passage of Jesus talking. Remember, we're coming out of this preaching. We're coming out His establishing His message. And as that, we start to see demons, fallen angels, the devil sent to deceive, sent to afflict humanity, and they're no match. Verse 34, There's 34. They see that he's Jesus. You are Jesus. Ha. Remember, leave us alone, basically, that ha says. It's kind of a very nervous ha. We think laugh kind of defies. No, this is a nervous, oh boy, kind of ha. Smile and nod, but they know that something is going on. What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I want you to look at the verse on the front of your bulletins, or if you have your Bibles there, you'll see it in verse 36. Verse 36. And they were all amazed, and they said to one another, what is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. Is that the same voice we read that with today? In our lives, as we read this, as we claim that, as we see Jesus' power around us, as we want to claim that authority, can we say that without amazement in us? Where is that authority coming from in our lives? I ask that again. Are we saying, what is this word? Do we know where this is coming from? To speak the truth. Yes. God gives us that boldness, and that's my prayer that I continue to speak that boldness, but it's hard. You know, it's hard to speak with boldness, but that comes from finding our authority elsewhere, that we would find our full authority in Jesus. Jesus is authority. Jesus' power over evil. Jesus commanding out these unclean spirits. This isn't just another Bible story, though it is, but this word of truth, this word of victory, this word of authority. Jesus then, he finishes this teaching, this exorcism in the synagogue, and he goes to Simon's house for a meal. Kind of like we go out for lunch after the service. We go home for a meal. And in that, Simon's mother-in-law is very sick. Dr. Luke, obviously quick to pick up on this detail and had heard this and picks up on it. And Jesus rebukes her fever. Interesting word to use as he's healing a fever. Jesus rebukes her fever. Now this is the same word that Jesus uses to rebuke the demons. To rebuke. To denounce. To express command. To share extreme disapproval with what's going on. To rebuke. And he gives warning and threat. This is the authority of Jesus, and she is healed. Luke doesn't say that she was possessed. Not living in a life of sin. She was very sick. Luke records miraculous healing of authority over this sickness, over the nature of illness. Jesus casts out demons and he heals the sick. These are the two points that we want to pull from all of this. Visible signs of the kingdom breaking into a broken world. The kingdom of God is not just words, it's power. It's experience. And in that, I don't know about you, but sometimes I wonder how to talk about spiritual warfare. It's not something that we talk about a whole lot in our regular conversations. Don't think we should. Wouldn't it be nice if spiritual warfare, if those powers of evil, if they were just a thing of the past? That it were just a thing that was in Jesus' time. That doesn't affect us now. It's not. How about the conversation surrounding God still miraculous healing today? What does healing look like in today's society? And all I'm going to say on this today is that we only know the half of it. We only know the half of it. And no, we may not possess the gifts of healing that the early apostles demonstrated, but God does still miraculously heal today. He does. He also uses suffering. He also uses challenges in our lives. He also uses pain. He uses all of these things to heal some of the most significant areas of our life. Some of the most painful times in my life is where the greatest healing has actually gone on. God sees us in that vulnerable place. He hears us. He knows those cries and those tears. And he wants to come right beside us there, put his arm around and say, I got this. That is where the healing takes place. It's in the heart. The greatest healing has to take place in the heart over pride, over sin, over bitterness. We could add to the list. But God does heal. God does give peace. God gives rest, and God protects his people. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We're going to go quickly to Ephesians chapter 6 as we talk about this presence of evil within us. And many of us are familiar with this passage within Ephesians chapter 6. As it talks about being strong and putting on the full armor of God in verse 10 of chapter 6. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand evil in this day. 5:8. The devil prowls like a roaring lion, ready to devour. And, you know, as I think about that illustration of the devil ready to devour like a roaring lion, how does a lion devour? Sometimes it chases the prey down, but most often it stalks quietly in those subtle ways. And, you know, I think that's the way that we get most discouraged. Is when around us we get discouraged with the things that we would never see discouragement in. Maybe it's the way that we're serving. Maybe it's in a relationship that we're really trying to invest love into. And that is where that danger lies, in that discouragement. Hold to the authority of Jesus. A quote by R.C. Sproul. We do not segment our lives, giving some time to God while keeping other parts to ourselves. The idea is to live all of our lives in the presence of God, under the authority of God, and for the honor and glory of God. That is what the Christian life is all about. Amen. Jesus prioritizes the kingdom, and this was his mission. Remember at the very beginning of this conversation, I mentioned how these verses were ultimately at the beginning, but they're also at the end. It's talking about Jesus' message. And he prioritizes the kingdom in each and every sermon that he gives and conversation that he has, because so much of the kingdom that he is professing is so upside down to the rest of society. It's all about the kingdom of God, the victory, the peace, the healing that comes in trusting God. See the demons, the evil, the devil, they know who Jesus is, and they shudder. They shudder at the mention of his name because they have been defeated, and they will be sent away once and for all in Jesus' second coming. However, the commanding authority of Jesus, that authority that God gives, is only a reality for those who trust in Him. If we're just going to say it by name, we're doing what the demons have done. You can say, you can see the power of Jesus, but by name, the commanding authority of Christ can only be a reality for those who trust in Him, who take the words of Scripture as their truth, who take it as their sword against the schemes of the devil. That we too can stand up and say, we know this word. We know this word. We are amazed at the authority and the power of His command. Out of that verse 36. As Jude warns also against that false teaching, that to only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, be Lord, glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and forevermore. Though the crowds want Him to stay, Jesus insists on moving forward. I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well. His mission is not popularity, but proclamation, to spread the reign of God wherever He goes. We've seen Jesus proclaim the kingdom with authority, and we see Him demonstrate it with power and pursue it with unwavering purpose. His words weren't just wise, they were divine. His miracles weren't just compassionate. They were displays of what the kingdom looks like. And His mission wasn't just local, it was global and it's eternal. The kingdom of God is not just a future hope, it is a present reality. That authority, that power is a present reality. And Jesus, the King, still speaks with that authority today. And so I ask, will we submit to that teaching? Will we trust His power to heal and deliver, even when that healing, even when that deliverance doesn't take the shape that we anticipate? Like I said, sometimes the healing that we have in our lives comes from the hardest, most vulnerable places that we go through. Jesus heals and He forms us as we look to Him and Him alone, to putting our trust in Him. We can't help but think, where is our authority? We can't help but think that after reading a passage like this, talking about who Jesus is, talking about what He's doing, if we're not thinking about that authority in our own lives, we're missing it. We come back to that question, where is the authority of your life found? Where is it found? In the way that you live out, in the words that you say, in how you live out authority, what does it say? Where's the majority of your time spent? There are many good things we give our time to, but what does it say about our priorities? What are the things that we talk about? How do we handle conflict? Do we come to God first and look to His guidance? Or do we figure, we got to figure it out, I'll give Him a piece of my mind. We're good at creating conflict, I think. But how are we being vulnerable in that as we handle conflict, as we handle frustrations, as we handle health concerns, as we handle maybe the next steps of our life? What does my future look like? Look to the authority of Christ. That kingdom living would look a little different than the self-indulgent society around us. Spend time in the Word. Claim those truths of the Bible. Memorize them. Even if you're not a good memorizer, memorize small portions of Scripture, and you will be surprised how those things pop up throughout different scenarios in your life. Look to be intentional with what we have been given, and invest one of the most important resources known to humankind in the truths of God. What is that resource? It's time. Time spent with Him. realize how short this life is. And so may we trust that authority for a lifetime, that authority is an eternal investment. I think our takeaway here, I just kind of put it into a nice little sentence. I like to do that for myself. It kind of gives me peace of mind as well. But as we think about what that authority thing looks like, as we think about our own lives, that we wouldn't respond to Jesus with mere recognition and admiration. Remember, even Satan's workers are doing this. But that we respond with trust and obedience. Let's not just marvel at his authority. Let's walk in that authority. Let's claim that authority. The king has spoken. The kingdom has come. Now it's our turn to live like it until the kingdom comes to rule in fullness at the end of the age. I would invite you to bow your heads with me. And I'm going to ask that we pray together as we close this look into Scripture, as we say the Lord's Prayer together. And I invite you to say with me, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. I'll invite the song leader up for the closing song.
Rejoicing that will be when we all
Jesus Christ, to whom glory forever and ever. Amen.